How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. Happy Dynamite Dynasty, I should say. Too many D's. Happy Dynasty Day. AEW Dynasties tonight. This is setting up. This is the first setup to All In, if you really think about it. This pay-per-view will start to solidify what that card is going to look like. And a lot of people are getting excited for it. You can see that tickets are starting to move in a more aggressive way this week. We'll break that down courtesy of WrestleTix on Patreon. He does a tremendous job at giving all the ticket pricing. Also, we have WrestleMania ticket pricing also, ticket distribution also, and everything else that they're doing that weekend. AEW television news, we'll go into that. They have a four-hour block, as we reported multiple times on every show that we've done here on Wrestling Observer. AEW is going to be doing a four-hour block in June. We also have some information on max viewership. There was a story that came out regarding 500,000 viewers, live plus one viewers on max for AEW. I don't know. I spoke to a couple people. I don't think that number is very accurate, but we'll talk about that. Also, SmackDown. The fallout from SmackDown and CM Punk's favor and what happened between Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair in that promo. That has been the most interesting thing in that program, and I think it's given it some life. Whether or not that was by design or that was by accident, this is the most anybody's spoken about this program since it started. And also, bad news regarding Kevin Owens. He's out with an injury for a while. We have a lot to talk about today. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Do me a favor. Follow me on X at Andrew Zarian. That's where I drop most of my scoops, if I have any. I haven't been scooping. Been too busy. But I do have some information about the AEW numbers, and we'll get into them when we talk about AEW in another segment, because there's a lot of AEW to talk about. But I do want to touch on what's going on with SmackDown here. Interesting show. They were in Chicago. That crowd was super hot for a lot of things. CM Punk opens the show. Of course, that crowd is going nuts for him, being his hometown. He mentioned over and over how he wasn't supposed to be there. He referenced that he was born stillborn. He had a cord wrapped around his neck. He also referenced working in the indies around Chicago. He thanked everyone, starting with his wife April and their puppy Larry. He said that he would not be who he was without the city of Chicago, which, I mean, this is a very CM Punk promo, you know, and he once again thanked them. Paul Heyman came out and requested a favor of his own. His favor was to know what the favor was. And Punk says he's going to reveal the favor when Roman arrives, and he wants to say it to his face. Very cool. I thought that was fine. You know, it's a different presentation for the show from years past, and I think it's fitting into something positive, because, listen, I've been very vocal about how I feel about the WWE product for years. I enjoy it. I watch it. I don't really necessarily have to love every aspect of it, but there's many things that they do that's tremendous. It's a spectacle, and I appreciate that. I'm a fan of theater. I'm a fan of the opera. I like that kind of stuff. But I also like my pro wrestling, which, generationally, it's probably outdated now. If you're 19, 15, 16, 17 years old, you're probably not going to enjoy my style of wrestling. I want to watch Danielson in an Iron Man match every day. I could watch him and give me anybody. Give me him and Randy Orton in the slowest style match, and I'm into it. So I'm enjoying this, and I see how much my kids are enjoying it, and that shows that they're doing something right there when my kids are liking it. Rey Fénix debut. They came out to his presentation. Dude, that laser, I had to look away. Did you know, did that affect you at all? His laser intro?
I thought it was, I thought it was very well done.
It was great, but it was like crazy with the laser. Mm-hmm. They totally went out on the presentation. He went up against Nathan Frazier. Frazier was a great opponent for him.
Yes, he was really a good opponent. And I'm surprised they did that. I mean, there was probably someone on the roster that could do it, but
But
I have a feeling that that guy is going to be on the main roster too.
Nathan Frazier,
well.
He's good. Mm. Charlotte Flair, Tiffany Stratton. Also, LA Knight defeated Tama Tonga. I don't want to skip over that. Charlotte Flair, Tiffany Stratton face off. This was something. So this kind of went off the rails, but in the end, I think it's benefited them as far as interest goes. The fans were booing Charlotte out that building. I don't know what it is. She's just very unlikable.
Yep.
That's the reality of it. And Stratton, it seemed to have gotten to her, though. And this is the second. She gets, you know, this happens to her occasionally where she gets frazzled by the audience. Have you noticed that?
I've noticed it. It happened when she first came back on this run, right after.
On this run, it's happened in the past where they've been a little bit aggressive and it throws her off and she starts arguing with them.
Well, I think she thinks she has a perception of what the fans are going to think of her and that she can be a babyface. And Tiffany actually said it in her promo. Tiffany said it. She goes, "Your biggest struggle is the fans. You will never get them on your side based on how she's been presented over the years, you know, mostly under Vince's watch."
Yeah.
And I think that's where we are with her, where she's just going to have to, it's going to be a while before she can be a babyface.
Yeah.
Tiffany cooked
her though on that promo. If you think about it, Tiffany really got the upper hand. She mentioned how many titles Flair wins and she'll always be second to her dad. And at WrestleMania, she comes second to Tiffany. Flair tries to talk here, but couldn't get a complete sentence out because that crowd was harassing her. Tiffany said at the age of 25, Flair was failing to get into volleyball and drinking in daddy's basement. And this is where it kind of went all over the place. While at that age, Tiffany's headed to WrestleMania as a world champion. It went all over the place. Okay. She also brought up that she ended up saying it seemed unscripted, essentially, this whole thing. I don't know. Listen, I don't know. This is not the same WWE that we could predict. This could have been a very well staged shoot work that they haven't done in a very long time. Flair, flustered, asked Tiffany why Kaiser is in her DMs.
That was when
she was leaving the ring. But she also mentioned that she's been divorced 3 times, Tiffany.
Yeah.
So
you're going to be alone. You're going to be alone outside the ring or inside the ring, just like you are outside the ring, 0-3.
I saw this, I did not take it that this was, oh my gosh, they're shooting on each other. They're totally off script here. I saw this as a very creative, unique way to get people interested, and it worked. People are very interested in this. Now, I could be wrong. From all the reports that are coming out, it seems like I am wrong, but it came off as the most interesting thing that they've done in this program.
Yep. And it's more of a reality. It's more of a reality show type thing, right? Where it's more soap opera-ish than anything else. Where people in our demographic that are just wrestling fans and like a good evil wrestling promo aren't going to get this.
Guess what? But guess what? Our people are aging out. We are fading away. We don't exist anymore. This is what wrestling will be.
If that gets more young people to watch the show, that's what they're going for. Mm-hmm. And you've said that a bazillion times.
Yeah. I'm going to skip over a couple things here, but I want to go into the Kevin Owens segment. Kevin Owens came out. It was reported that he had a very serious injury and that he would be out. And Dave confirmed this on Twitter on Friday or Thursday? Friday. Kevin Owens comes out, announces that he's injured. He has a neck injury. He'll be out for a significant amount of time. I hope he does well in recovery. I hope he comes back better than ever. This is something you never want to see in anybody. But they did something interesting here. As Kevin Owens is leaving the ring, Randy Orton would come out, and Aldis would inform him that he didn't have a match at WrestleMania. So Randy RKO's Nick Aldis. I never thought about this match. But if there's a way to get Nick Aldis to wrestle again, because he is, I mean, just magnificent, great look, him and Randy Orton would be perfect opponents. That style would be perfect for each other.
It would be that methodic style that you like, is what it would be. But here's my question. Could this just be kind of a red herring and we end up with a proxy for Aldis? Aldis goes, I'm going to go find someone.
Maybe, but
you.
I mean, listen, I would love to. You could do something cool here. I don't know if it matters for anybody other than, you know, a few people, but I really want to see
anything
him in the Aldis.
Yeah. Anything they do is a last minute change, right? Because, I mean, obviously they got to pivot and they're not going to leave Randy Orton off of WrestleMania.
No, they're not.
Just no.
You got a last man standing. Jacob Fatu defeated Braun Strowman. The winner faces LA Knight for the U.S. Championship at WrestleMania. Looks like Fatu might get this U.S. title, which is very, very exciting. And that'll lead a nice feud with Solo, or Solo could cost him, and that leads into that program. There's a lot going on here. Paul Heyman, the favor. We're out of time here at the end of this segment. Because my producer wouldn't stop talking. No, I'm joking. I like to blame him for everything. It's not his fault. But when we come back, I do want to talk about the CM Punk Paul Heyman segment, because this really seems like at this point, Seth Rollins is the third wheel here. And, you know, if you're gonna start booking this match, you're like, oh, he's there. So no, none of them take the fall. But maybe there's a twist. We'll find out. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Let's go into this Paul Heyman CM Punk moment. You see, Heyman is in the parking lot, or as my notes say, payment. Payment is shown in the parking lot. Paying for what? Parking? He's waiting for Roman. He gets out of his car. He doesn't even look at Heyman, but instead starts walking directly to the ring. He asks Heyman if Punk is still asking for the favor and if he would share a secret with Chicago. He said that Punk wouldn't be back in WWE if it weren't for him. Rollins comes out, says he wouldn't miss this for the world. So this is fun. He would remind Roman on how he's gotten the advantage on him several occurrences over the years. Remember that cash-in?
So this was, and he did explain all that, but this was him saying, I'm going to go watch the world burn. He was us in this.
Yeah. He was us in this
kind
segment.
Of a little close. Yeah.
Punk would come out, and he comes out. He talks about his friendship with Heyman. They go back many years. He was the original Paul Heyman guy. Really, that was the moment that brought Heyman, you know, that promo when he spoke about being a Paul Heyman guy, that changed a lot of stuff. That shifted a lot in wrestling. Punk comes out and says the favor is he wants Heyman to be in his corner at WrestleMania. Roman starts laughing it off, assuming Heyman would turn him down. Poet show great anguish, nearly crying, falling apart as a person here, trying to make a decision, finally agreeing to do it. Roman pushes Heyman into the corner. CM Punk would attack him from behind and hit him with a GTS. And that's the favor now.
That was fantastic. This was good.
Great stuff. Do you think this convolutes it?
Adds another layer to it. Because you mentioned at the end of the last segment how you thought that CM Punk was being kind of left off. No, CM Punk, there was another layer the other week. So the CM Punk stuff has already been established. Now we're establishing why Roman and CM Punk have beef. And we've already established why Seth and Punk have beef. And we're adding that last layer to this, and I think that was important they did this. Now we know what the favor is, and there's so many ways he could go with this. It's
maybe he turns on both of them, and it's Rollins.
Yeah, or something like that. Or just there's so many ways they could go with this. We're going to walk out of night one of Saturday night WrestleMania going, what just happened? That I'm sure of.
I wonder if it leads into something night two, you know?
I was wondering that too. But I guess, you know, we still have a couple weeks. The only negative I have, and I don't know how you feel about this, is I wish this had some kind of stakes on it, like a number
like
one
a belt
or something.
Yeah,
it doesn't need a belt.
Well, Paul Heyman's the stake, right? Getting... Paul Heyman's the stake. Are they going to suspend him over the ring in a shark cage?
No, because he's going to be in CM Punk's corner.
Yeah. I'm curious about this. This is another dynamic added to this.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've been working really well. You know,
so people, I mentioned it in the notes there, but and you kind of mentioned already, but the that 2013 promo where Heyman was leaving the company and he said, "One day you will wrestle main event, and I will be by your side." That's what they're paying off here. That's a 12-year payoff. Yeah. And people say, you know, long-term storytelling doesn't exist. Well, they're making it exist.
I think by happenstance more than anything else.
Yeah.
I don't think it was by design. I don't think in 2013 Vince McMahon thought, hey, when I'm ousted from my company for something not
pay
good.
Pay this off, would you?
can you just make sure that this is paid off in some way 10 years later? Thanks. 12 years later.
They're just smart enough to go back and go, hey, remember we did that? We could add that in here. And it gives it a nice layer, nostalgic layer.
So another step into WrestleMania that's in a few weeks. Looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to it being on Easter. I'm not looking forward to it being on my 20th anniversary with Jess. It's going to be a very difficult night too for me, but we will watch.
What a terrible week for it to be, but yeah.
It's a busy week. Busy week. I want to touch on this Max number story by BJ for SE Scoops, because I've been asked about this over and over again, and I've spoken about it, but I want to bring it up a little bit more because I spoke to a few other people after, I think I spoke about this on Tuesday last. Actually, I spoke about it a little bit on Friday on Matt Men, but Tuesday I really spoke about it mostly here on Observer. So the story reported is that AEW is averaging 500,000 viewers. Okay. Combined with live cable numbers, this would give Dynamite an average of 1 million to 1.2 million viewers per episode since it was added to streaming. That is not accurate. And I'm not, again, I'm going to say that BJ is a great journalist. BJ has a lot of access to people. I'm only going to say what I have been told. My guys could not know. They could be wrong. I've spoken to people on multiple sides. I don't think the number that is provided is false. I think the question should be, how is this being measured? That's the bigger question. And if you're going based on traditional Nielsen-style viewership, right, this is not an accurate number. This is live plus one, by the way. I will tell you that, you know, AEW is averaging around over a million viewers over the course of a couple days for Dynamite. That is 100% accurate. That's been accurate since the beginning of that show. Like, when you see 675, that's the live viewership. It's not live plus one or live plus two. Live plus three, DVR plus three. So, you have to look at how the metric is being done. And one person that I spoke to from WBD, not on the Max side, the response was something that I can't say on the radio, but essentially it was, if that show is getting 500,000 viewers in the traditional metric style, those blanks should be doing backflips. That was the exact word that this person said to me.
So by traditional style, you mean sitting down and watching the entire show.
Or however Nielsen is measuring it. I'm going based on Nielsen measurement. I'm not going based on this hypothetical on dividing. Right. You're taking a watch minutes and then you're dividing it. And then you're putting a derivative on that. That kind of tells you plus or minus X amount of viewers per episode. That's not an accurate way of measuring. And if they were getting 500,000 viewers, you would hear about this. This would be gloated. That's a lot of viewers. You know, you compare this to metrics from when they were hotter and they provided something for free that had live measurable numbers. I would say the Danielson-Minoru Suzuki match that they aired live on YouTube would be a good measurement. And all that was able to do was about 98,000 peak concurrent viewers. And I, whatever the viewership was, you know, the plus three or the plus 24. And that's free. No subscriber. Easily accessible. Shareable. Something that was shared all over social media, and that's what it was able to get. I have a difficult time believing that this is a Nielsen-style measurement of 500,000. Again, I'm not doubting BJ. I'm sure that this is what was provided to him. I just need more clarity as far as how is this being measured? That's the big question. Also, does it really matter at the end of the day? I was told a number, okay? I was told a number. I have no idea if it's accurate, and I won't ever report it because I have no sourcing on this number. It was significantly less than a half a million. It's significantly less than a half a million. It's not abysmal, but I don't know what that number means to them as far as their sales and what kind of, you know, what kind of buys they're doing on this show, what kind of ads they're able to sell, how this impacts their core sales for television. I don't know. So it doesn't even matter at that point. But I told the story. I was consulted by a large streaming company about contacted by a large streaming company about a little over a decade ago that I was a consultant on. And this is exactly what I worked on with them is measurable, deliverable numbers. And every one of these companies wanted to, I'm not saying WBD is doing this. Okay. Don't take, but every one of these companies wanted to gain this number to be as high as possible. And that's a big problem for the advertisers. The advertisers want accurate metrics. And I was helping them build their analytics. And do you know what happened? They did not listen to me. And they went with bogus numbers like this, and it killed their entire ad sales. Nobody would invest in their products because their numbers were not accurate. And they had to be punished and put in a third party that did the measurement. And guess what happened? The numbers were even lower than they could have ever been if they followed my way. So what do these numbers mean? Nothing. That's what it means. It doesn't mean anything. At the end of the day, I give, you know, Garrett said something interesting to me. Garrett goes, it took courage by BJ. I said, yeah, it did, to put that number out there and have to deal with the backlash. Now, again, it could be a very accurate number, and I'm just not privy to this information. It's very possible. But the people that I spoke to, if this number was accurate in the sense that, you know, this is a Nielsen-style ad sales number that advertisers are going to look at and be interested in, because that's the only thing that matters here with this number. This person does not think that this is an accurate number, and he would 100% have heard this, and people would be gloating about it. I hope this helps. I hope this helps the discourse. And again, don't attack BJ. He's just reporting something he was told. That's what it comes down to. You can read the article, SE Scoops. I'm sure it's all over the place. Everybody shared it, but interesting stuff. Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. AW Collision, go home show for Dynasty last night. We're going to fly through this. It was more of a setup for tonight. It's coming on in a few hours here. Yeah, actually, no. Soon. Like in an hour. Takeshita Kyle Fletcher defeated Powerhouse Hobbs and Ishii, who had Rocky Romero. Max Caster would come out for his open challenge. And he said he had another one at Dynasty. I wonder who that is. Do you have any assumptions? Who is it? It's Anthony Bones, yeah. Best Wrestler Alive Open Challenge, Mark Briscoe defeated Max Caster. Top Flight defeated Crew. C-R-U. Crew? You spelt this very differently last time. You wrote it in like periods as like C period R period U. Now it's just Crew. Adam Cole, Daniel Garcia sit down interview. I'm hoping this is a really good match. I think they both need this to be a total banger. Renee sat down with both TNT champion Daniel Garcia and Adam Cole ahead of their title match. Renee is so good in these moments. I always wonder how she would do again on commentary. You know, WWE tried that experiment. I don't think it was her. I think it was more of the process at WWE. She's so good. Yeah. She's so good.
In a pinch.
But not even in a pinch. I think they should try it. I think they should try it. It's not a bad thing to try it. Cole would cut him off. and ask everyone to clear the room and told Daniel Garcia that he wasn't ready to carry the weight of his title long term. And this is heating up here. Pac defeated Cash Wheeler. Good to see Pac in singles action. Speedball Mike Bailey defeated Dralistico with the Beast Mortos. I love the Beast Mortos. Can I tell you, he's my favorite Saturday Night character.
He is. He's kind of that. I mean, that character was, I can't remember who he was in AAA. Was
was Toros.
Toros, yeah, okay, yeah. It was Toros. Mm-hmm.
They just couldn't use a name. Athena Julia Hart defeated Carly Cameron and Mercedes Moné. Here was another thing that they announced, a scoop that we dropped a couple of weeks ago. AEW announces a 4-hour block Dynamite Collision Fighter Fest TV special. This is because of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Would it be the finals then on June 4th? Is that the finals time?
Yeah,
it would be finals.
Yeah, so that means that one of the games is on Saturday night.
They don't want to not do a show. So they're coming up with. This is interesting, and this is something that was told to me by the conversation I had over this week. I asked about this, and I was like, what are you guys doing with the programming? And I was like, why don't you move it, you know, next year? It wouldn't be bad to move this show to Thursday. He didn't really know the programming, but he did say that the company itself is very open to experimenting with stuff like this. That's just their philosophy as a whole. They're okay with it. They're not like, you're not stuck in the time slide. Like, they're okay with shifting things, which is nice. You know, it's not as you're set for this time. But the company officially announced that on Saturday last night that a 4-hour block featuring both AEW Dynamite and Collision would take place on June 4th in Denver, Colorado. Would this be their first Denver show?
Oh, they've done Denver before.
They haven't done Denver for a pay-per-view though. I know that they're dying.
Well, this is not a Wednesday night.
It's a Wednesday night. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so it's a 4-hour block.
Essentially, it's going to be going off the air at midnight our time. So it's going to be interesting.
The last time they did Fyter Fest as a TV special was 2023. You know where I got confused? Last year's Dynasty was supposed to be in Denver.
Okay.
And they had to move it because of something. I forgot what it was. There was some sort of conflict. And they had to move it. Let's go into this. AEW Dynasty tonight. This card looks good. The tickets have moved. They've done a good job at this. I have the ticket numbers here. Let me pull this up. Or I did. Do I? Yes, I do. No, I don't. Where are we looking? Did I delete it? No. Okay. I'll get you the ticket numbers, but before I go into that one, here's the all-in number, because this is all leading into all-in. They moved 1,000 tickets in the last week versus what they were moving, which was about 146 tickets every 2 days. They have 13,500 distributed. They're currently set up for 18,000. There's 4,600 tickets. I think they'll get up there. They have 97 days for that show. You think they'll do good?
I think they'll get there. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah. Here we go. AEW Dynasty.
Panicking too much.
It's tonight in Philly. They have 7,000 tickets distributed. Currently set up for 7,500. There's 555 tickets available. The last year's Dynasty did 6,600, so they beat last year, which is a positive. There's interest now. And I'm sure that they'll be, you know, they'll have a few hundred more or 1,000 more committed tonight for the show. But let's go into it. Max Caster, Best Wrestler Alive Open Challenge on 0 Hour. The theory is that it's Anthony Bowen. Aaron Fox and Top Flight. It should be. Aaron Fox and Top Flight versus The Crew and Nick Wayne. The Ops make an appearance. I wonder why. Like, is that on 0 Hour or is that on the main card?
They didn't say. I think it's just they're going to be there. So I think it's going to be on 0 Hour, if I had to guess.
Mark Briscoe, Kyle Fletcher, Owen Hart Foundation Tournament first round. Mercedes Moné, Julia Hart, Owen Hart Foundation first round. Will Ospreay, Kevin Knight, Owen Hart Foundation Tournament first round. Now, Kevin Knight is a replacement.
Right, for Jay White.
Mm-hmm.
So, out of those three matches, which one do you think is going to... I mean, obviously, Ospreay and Kevin Knight.
Ospreay, Kevin Knight's going to be good. Mercedes, they all could be incredible. Kyle Fletcher, mm-hmm. Mark Briscoe is a great pairing I want to see.
They're putting a lot of weight in Mercedes carrying that women's division. And so far, I think she's doing a pretty good job.
It has to be leading to Tony. That has to be the match.
I mean, and it makes perfect sense. And somewhere along the way, you got to lead these women looking better.
You know, I would not be against her losing to Athena at Double or Nothing and coming after Tony for the world title.
Okay, but if she... that would be the finals, meaning she would lose and Athena would get the title shot.
Athena would get the title, yeah. That doesn't work. No, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, because Athena's in this too, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the finals are at Double or Nothing.
Yeah, so I'm wrong there. I don't know. Maybe she wins and that's it. That's how you do it and she has the title. There you go. AW Tag Champions, the Hurt Syndicate defends against Brian Keith and Big Bill. I think Hurt Syndicate will continue with the titles. AW TNT champion Daniel Garcia defends against Adam Cole with no time limit and no interference. I think Cole needs this. I think Adam Cole needs to have this title.
I almost disagree with you a little bit there. Okay. I just think they need to elevate Daniel Garcia to another. He's always good, but I can't get invested in his character. He just needs that one match or that one moment that really puts him over the top. So having a banger of the match, and I agree that Adam Cole probably needs to win this, but I don't know.
You want to see Garcia do more.
I want to see him come out in a better place at the end of it.
So, ROH World Champion Chris Jericho defends against Bandido, title versus mask. I don't think they're unmasking Bandido here. And I think it's good. Take the title off of Jericho. You know, he's a two-time Ring of Honor champion, Chris Jericho. Right? Two-time.
Yep. Yeah.
It's so weird. It's such weird... Like, you look at the history of that title, right? And then there's like, look at all the people that had it. And then Chris Jericho in 2025.
It's like when you look at the lineage of the ECW title and you go through and you go, Vince McMahon?
Vince McMahon, right? ECW champion and Christian? Trios championship on the line to Death Riders. Wheeler Yuta, Pack, and Claudio Castagnoli defend against Rated FTR. Cope, Dax Harwood, and Cash Wheeler. The story is, can they coexist right now? They're having problems. Rated FTR. Who turns on who? Who beats up who? This is a great opportunity. Get Edge and Christian back. Have Dax and Wheeler turn, or maybe have Cope turn on them. They're going to pull a New Day here. They're not breaking up. Yeah. I don't see them breaking up. I think that's a big mistake to separate these two. They're a fantastic tag team. They'll get lost in the shuffle as singles. So have them turn on Cope. Maybe have Christian come in. And there you go. That's a great pay-per-view match for All In. For the first time in whatever years.
They've also, on the other side of it, they've been having Nick Wayne do stuff on his own and kind of distancing himself from Christian. So there's that love, their angle.
There is that.
Too. So it seems like that's the direction, but who knows what they pull off.
Kenny Omega, international champion, defends against Ricochet and Speedball Mike Bailey in a three-way. This is going to be a very fast-paced, tremendous match. Kenny will retain this, in my opinion.
This is your work rate. This is your work rate.
Yeah.
Like, well, the Ospreay match too, but this one, I think, don't blink.
Don't blink.
The message there.
Yeah, where's Okada?
Not on the card.
Not on the card.
Interesting,
weird,
huh?
Yeah. Tony Storm defends against Megan Bain. This is just another showing for Tony. Let's see how Megan does here, because Tony needs a good opponent after that tremendous program with Mariah May. Also, where's Mariah May?
Yeah, she's not. She hasn't been on the show. She's been kind of. Mm-hmm. Well, the rumor is with her is her contract is up soon, if not very soon. So
I would think it's a mistake to let her go.
Yeah, I would snag her up in a heartbeat. Yeah. She's so good. And they do need top end women, and she was able to fill that role. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they do that.
Main event: Jon Moxley defends against Swerve Strickland AEW World Championship. So this gets complicated, right? Because you have Hangman and Swerve still. You have Will Ospreay eyeing that world title. You got Jon Moxley with this title reign. Is it time for him to drop it? Does Swerve get a shorter title reign? Does Swerve lose? He won it at Dynasty last time. There's so many different elements to this.
So I have a question before we go into the match itself.
Yeah.
Did you have an issue with the end of Dynamite with Moxley, DDT, and Willow?
I didn't have an issue with it, but it caught me so off guard that I gasped. Like, I was, it's funny because my head was turned around because I was talking to my wife, and I saw it, I go, oh my God! and then I started screaming. I'm like, how could he do that to her? It was an intergender match. No, it was not an intergender match. What are they
called?
It was a tornado match.
So everybody, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They got around that stipulation with it. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. You know, it was fine. Just another piece to this dastardly Jon Moxley.
I just think it's going to play in this match. I
think it's dastardly heel. Something, yeah.
It's going to come back around, yeah. Definitely.
Very curious how they do with this. Very curious. You know, this is leading into Double or Nothing, and Double or Nothing is leading into All In. They're doing great with those small buildings. Things are changing for them. The momentum is shifting a little bit. I think this is all good steps, but whatever they do next is going to be very, very important for this company. Has to be bigger than ever. Final segment of the show coming up right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live. Final segment of the show here on Sports Byline. A lot of wrestling this week. A lot of good wrestling. It gets wacky around this time, right? Because everybody, I mean, there's so much happening. You got NBA playoffs coming up soon. You got NHL playoffs coming up. You have WrestleMania. That's a later WrestleMania. You have AEW Dynasty, Double or Nothing next month. Then you're going into All In. Baseball's back. I don't know if people know this. I am a huge baseball fan. I disappear. When the Mets make the playoffs, you don't hear from me. I'm at every game. So it's a very exciting time here for sports and for everything going on. But listen, enjoy the show tonight, because I think the big question here is, you know, leading into everything that they're doing in AEW, everything matters. This show matters. You know, a lot of people, the commentators, like, well, you know, they still have time. No, they don't have time. Everything that they do has to matter right now. You have a stadium show that you've only moved 13,000 tickets to. You'll move. You'll get to 18,000. You'll probably get to 20,000, but you want to have as much bang as you can for your first, you know, actual stadium. Arthur Ashe, let's say that doesn't count, right? That's not, I mean, it is a stadium, and they did 20,000 almost in that building early on. So whatever happens tonight is obviously leading into that mega show, and I'm surprised Okada's not on this card. That's a big surprise to me. He's a huge attraction. You don't think he could have moved a couple hundred more tickets with an Okada on there? Maybe 1,000 tickets? But huge, huge card today. Enjoy the show. Watch it. Tweet me. X me. Talk to me about it. MG, what are you eating tonight? What are you ordering?
Mexican.
Great. We'll see y'all next time. Wrestling Observer Live. Bye-bye for now.